Good evening. I'd like to start with Scripture because that's always a great place to start. Joshua 4, 1 through 7. Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe," and commanded them, saying, "Take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight." So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' then you shall say to them, 'Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off.' So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever." Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are the God of all time and outside of time, Father, that you are the God of Adam and Abraham and Moses and David, Father. Yet you care about Patrick from Pleasant Garden, and that you love us, Father. We thank you for your word, which we can look at and see your love written all over it, Father, and just your plan. We just thank you so much. Just please be with me tonight as I bring your word and these thoughts to these people, Father. These fellow believers, I just thank you for them. Just take anything I say that is not of you. Just take it out of their minds. Just wipe it away, Father, that only the things I say will be of you and for your glory. We just ask all this according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. There's no school like the old school. And tonight we're going to talk about kind of an old school principle from the Old Testament. And I started thinking about the saying, "There's no school like the old school." It's pretty good marketing. Whoever came up with that probably didn't have the current clothes or anything. They're like, "Hey, there's no school like the old school." So, speaking of old school, let me tell you a story about my grandpa Sonny. We were in Texas. We were going to see my cousins Nathan and Anna. And I don't go down there very often, and they go down there quite a bit more than I do, but still they don't live there. And we were going to see them at their lunch break. And so Nathan was going to come in for lunch. We were going to have lunch. It was my grandpa Sonny and my grandma Pat and myself. I think that was all that was there, maybe Taylor. And so we were waiting on the kids in the cafeteria, and we look over, and my grandpa Sonny's got a piece of paper out, and he's writing down a list. And we're like, "What is he doing?" Well, the kids weren't there. Then the kids came, and he kept writing. The kids left and he kept writing. He didn't even talk to them. And we look over, he was writing a list of his accomplishments out. And I know we thought it was funny. I do know that he was the editor of a school paper at some point. I do remember that. So correct me if I'm wrong, Sogi. But your book, so I was wrong. So he was recording the accomplishments in his life. He was looking back on his life and recording the accomplishments, just as Joshua commanded the people to do with the stones. According to the National Park Service, there's a little over 2,500 national historic landmarks in the United States. North Carolina has 38 of these. These celebrate things such as Biltmore State in Asheville, Blandwood Mansion here in Greensboro, the USS North Carolina in Wilmington, Cape Hatteras, Fort Fisher in Macon, and Guilford Courthouse Battlefield. We all know what the purpose of these are. They're so that we can remember what happened, that we won't forget, that we can think about those things, and that they just won't pass away in history. What got me thinking about this topic actually was a book, like I said, is old school. It's The Count of Monte Cristo. It's one of my favorite books to read. This has absolutely nothing to do with the plot, but at one point a man asked a woman in the book, and he said, "Do you have a diary where you wrote your life down?" She goes, "No, I live a life of frivolity. I wish to forget my life myself." That started me thinking, if I went and wrote my life down, what would it be about? What would be the 12 stones I left there? What would be my commemoration to my life in memorial of what the Lord has done? And that got me thinking about what a speaker at Mountaintop said this summer. He had some of the guys that were at Mountaintop do devotions in the morning, and they would take a verse, and whatever that verse did to their life, he wanted them to share it. So for him, it was a verse that he was going to go play basketball in college. That was his goal. But then he read this verse, and he gave up everything to be a missionary in Africa. Some of y'all might know who I'm talking about. But so that seemingly unrelated thing in the Count of Monte Cristo got me thinking about that. So tonight I want to share for you some of those verses that have been turning points in my life. And as I do this, I want you guys to think about your own life. Maybe it's a verse, maybe it's a person, maybe it's a place, maybe it's an event. Think about those things. Maybe you've recorded them, maybe you haven't, but they're wonderful to remember, to look back, to see what the Lord has done in your life. And I'm going to do mine with a focus around verses and how God has used those in my life. The first verse is Philippians 4, 6 through 7. God really used this verse in my life talking about worry and anxiety. In high school, whenever I think of anxiety, this is what I think about. We had a weightlifting class, and it was the first block of every day. It was an hour and a half. Somehow the football coaches got the whole football team in one class. So it was basically football practice during school. So every Monday we had to run a time 400. Has anybody been watching the Olympics lately? Those guys do that in the 40s. We had to do a time 400 in a minute and five. But that's still, for me, that's impossible. I hate to run. You could say, go dig a hole for 12 hours or run for 10 minutes. I'll be in the hole for 13 hours. So every morning, every Sunday night, I would just go home and I was like, oh, Lord, help the coach to get sick. Help school to get canceled. Help the school to burn down. Maybe the coach will forget and won't make us do it, because if one person didn't make the time, everybody had to run it again. And that was the extent of my anxiousness. So I really didn't have anything to be anxious for in high school other than that. But then I grew up. I started getting older. I went to college. I graduated college. I had a history degree. I was like, I don't want to teach. What am I going to do for a job? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? Is this what God wants for me? So all these pressures of life started hitting me. And this had been my favorite verse for so long. Let me just read the verse. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So that had been my favorite verse for so long, but I don't know why. It sounded good, you know? But then when all those things started hitting me, I turned to my Bible, and I had that verse marked. I don't know why it was my favorite verse. And it hit me like a lightning bolt, the Lord saying, do not worry, I'm God. I'm going to take care of you. Not in a prosperity, not in I'm going to give you wealth, but I am your God and I love you. And I want the best for you, and I want you to serve me and not worry about anything else. So that was a landmark verse for me. If I could set up stones in my Bible to remember what God had done through that verse, the first place would be right beside Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And of course, there's a better place, and that was at my salvation when I was 7. But I'm going to talk, these are more things after I got saved. The second verse, I'm going to get, y'all know me, y'all know my dad, y'all know my Uncle Bill. I'm going to get emotional. So the second verse is one that really hit me. A few years ago, we were doing a study in the college and career class with Rob White, and we went through James. And one of the verses in James was about true religion. It was James 1, 27. It says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. So we did that study, similar to Philippians. I like the verse. It sounded good. Let's think about it. Let's talk about it, but let's not apply it. So years went by. Last year at Excel, the same Excel at Mountaintop, the same speakers this year had us all break out into groups, and he had us start praying for other people in the world. I think it might have been children specifically. I'm not sure there. I should have recorded it as they did in Joshua, where they recorded what God did. But I remember getting on my knees and praying, and Mark Shelley was right there beside me. And it was like something broke inside of me. I've been practicing this outward religion where I just came to church, said hey, did the stuff, took the emblems, but I wasn't practicing pure and undefiled religion. And Mark said, I meet with these guys every other week from Smith Homes, and we go pick them up, and we play basketball with them, and we give them the gospel, and we have a devotion with them. We've been doing that for over a year now, and I would not give that up. It's from a lot of kids from Smith Homes, and It's a lot of children without fathers. I would definitely say they were orphans in that sense. And one day, Mark and I were going over there, and it was raining. It was an off day. We were talking to each other. Mark, I'm sure you remember this. I'll never forget it. As we were pulling into Smith Homes, we said, you know, I don't remember which one of us said it. Maybe it was Mark. Said, I don't know if there's going to be that many people, many kids here today because it's raining. I bet no sooner than the words came out of that one of our mouths. We looked, and in the pouring down rain, they're not at their normal spot. It's like all the children were running towards the van. And it was like a line of them all running towards us. And it was like a living memorial to the ward. It was like it in person. It was just wonderful. And I thank the Lord that he brought that verse to my heart, that I can look back on that verse now and remember what the Lord did in my life through that verse. This third verse is not so much what the Lord has done in my life. It's more what he is doing. And I say that I'm already set up the stones beside it as Joshua did, because it's really changed my life. It is, it's 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all that you do be done in love. I wish I'd been hit by this verse by the Spirit a long time ago. I'm a lawyer, as many of you guys know. My mom can tell me if I'm wrong, but I like to argue. And oftentimes I'm wrong, and that just makes me argue even more, and definitely not in love. And occasionally I'm right, and then I'm really unloving because I'm right. So this verse, I don't know how I'm sure I've read it, but it didn't hit me. But the Spirit, I guess, was working that day because it wasn't on me. And I noticed it, and I started thinking about all those times in my life when I was unloving to friends, to family, to neighbors, to people I don't like, to people that don't look like me, to people that don't dress like me, to people that I'm threatened by. And I'm just very thankful that the Lord has brought these verses to my mind. And I encourage all of you guys to think about verses in your life. I encourage you to write them down. Don't forget like I have. I can't remember who said that in the van. I wish I'd written it down. I encourage you to look back at your life. Think about the verses God has placed in your life. Think about a people, a person, or an event, or a moment, a situation that God has worked in your life. I encourage you to write it down. I encourage you to share it with others, because it will be encouraging to them, and it will help you remember what the Lord has done for you and how powerful and loving he is. So, if you remember anything from tonight, it's that Joshua set up 12 stones in memorial to what the Lord has done. You can do the same thing and remember what the Lord has done for you in your life. Let's close. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you don't want us to already be across the Jordan, but that you're willing to take us before we cross the Jordan. Father, you're willing to take our hand and stop the waters and walk us through. Father, that we can look back and see your hand in our life. We thank you for your patience with us, Father, and for your love. We thank you so much for your word, Father, how it truly is divinely inspired, Father. We thank you that it's powerful. We thank you that it always accomplishes its goal. Thank you that you could use us, Father. And just thank you for our fellow believers, that we can encourage them and that they can encourage us, Father. We just ask that you continue to work in our lives and help us to remember. Bring those things that you have done in our lives, each and every one of our lives, Father. Bring it back to our memory, Father, that we can recall it and worship you and thank you for what you've done in our hearts and in our lives. We ask all these things and thank you so much for who you are, according to your will, in your Son, Lord Jesus' name. Amen.